So blessed to hear it for the second time. It's just always so powerful when we encounter God and he's no respecter of a person. You cry out to him, he's there. On Wednesday, a sister Priya shared a really powerful word with the ladies about the dry bones. And the thing that really stood out to all of us was, you know the story about the dry bones. But God spoke to the prophet and said, "You prophesy. You prophesy." So this morning, my title is Partnering with God. It's the way that God has set things up. We as his people get to partner with him. It's amazing how God has set it up like this. But he has. So we heard that story on Wednesday. You know, God could have just spoken the voice, but he didn't. He said, "You prophesy." But this morning I'm going to focus on the partnering with God that every believer is asked to do. And that's through prayer and intercession. It doesn't matter if you've only been saved for a short time, or if you've been saved for 70 years. It doesn't matter. You have entrance into the throne room of God to make petitions. And it's powerful. It's powerful. From the very beginning of time, God intended for mankind to represent him. So let's look at Genesis 1:26, which you know very well, but let's read it. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." To have dominion, to rule. So mankind is supposed to be God's manager, God's mediator, God's representative. Yes, mankind messed up. There was the fall. But Jesus has won that back. And so as believers in Christ, by his righteousness, we are now to represent. To represent means to represent, to present again. So if you imagine back at before the fall, imagine that you were in the Garden of Eden and there's the big elephant. And the big elephant is standing there looking around, and from the corner of his eyes he looks and he thinks, "Oh, there's God," and then he turns around, sorry, it was Adam. That's what it would be like, because Adam was like God. He looked like God. You know that sometimes there's just a corner of your eye, you just see something. And then when you turn around, it was maybe something else. Because we represent the Lord. We represent the Lord. Psalm 115:16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. This is our domain. Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. To keep is the word in the Bible for watchman. Watchman. To be the guardian. So do you see how from before the fall, mankind, you and I, we are called to be keepers. We are called to represent God. Because our forefathers were made in the image of God. It's a very, very special situation that we are in. The image of God. The word image means a shadow or an illusion. So an illusion is something you think you see, but on closer observation you discover that your eyes have tricked you. So the elephant thought he saw God, but actually it was Adam that walked past over on his side. Why? Because they look alike. Have you ever been told, go on somewhere and somebody says, oh, you look so much like your mother, or you look so much like your father. There's a look-alike. But then on closer observation, you know, it's not. So we are creating his likeness. And this is a calling to represent God. And when you think about the word represent, it's not just in the Bible, in everyday life. If you are in a work situation, sometimes you go somewhere and you're representing your company. You're representing your country. An ambassador gets sent to another country to represent Great Britain. When they go, they're not to speak their own words, are they? Their own opinion. No. No, they are there representing something. And their authority comes from whoever sent them. So we are the sent ones. We are the sent ones. God sent Jesus, and Jesus now sends us. We are the legs. We are the arms. We are the mouthpiece. We are to represent Jesus. Our authority comes from He who sent us. He who sent us. It's so exciting. So partnering with God is representing God. This is our calling. I'm going to now go through two examples in Scripture of people who did this really well. And this is what we are called to do. The first one I want to look at is Daniel. When we read Daniel chapter 9, we get a great insight into Daniel. You and I are called to be Daniels, meaning we are called to do what he did. We are called to recognize what's going on in the nation. We are called to recognize what's going on in the world at the moment. And not just that, but to know where we are in God's timeline and to intercede and pray. You can make a difference for your friends. You can make a difference. What we're going to uncover is these people, God burdened them to pray, and because they prayed, God moved. What would happen had they not prayed? What will happen to Livingston if we do not get on our knees? What will happen to your family if you don't intercede? What will happen to your best friend if you don't pray? Let's look at the scripture. Daniel chapter 9. We start from verse 2, we go to verse 5. In the first year of his reigns, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquities. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgment. And this prayer goes on. You can read the rest of the chapter. This is such powerful words here. This gives us insight into what this man was made of. Daniel loved the word of God. I'm sure he would have read these scriptures over and over and over. He would have read the word of the Lord through Jeremiah before. But now he's reading it, and what happens is the light comes on. He gets the revelation. It was 70 years. Wait a minute. The 70 years is nearly up. What would you do? What would you do? What are you doing with the words or prophetic words about revival coming? Are you going, yeah, 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 yeah? That's not what Daniel did. He didn't go, oh, wow, we are nearly there. Great. No, no, no. Oh, I think that really speaks to me. How do we react when God says something great is coming? We're like, oh, yes, yes. That's not the reaction of a man or woman of God, as we see from Daniel. He says, then I set my face to the Lord God. Why? Because God reveals things so that you can partner with him. He reveals it to you for a purpose. Because you're part of this. Come on now. You're part of this. I'm part of this. The revelation of God is given for reasons. It was 606 before Christ that Israel had been taken captive by another nation. Why? Because of their sin. Why do we see what we see? You heard the word last week about the land. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. So Daniel's reading for the prophet, Jeremiah, and he discovers it's been prophesied that the captivity will come to an end after 70 years. He sees the issue behind. He understands why the people have been captive. He knows why. It's not because God wants to punish them. They have brought it on themselves because repeatedly they refused to repent. Repeatedly, they kept committing the same sin over and over. Right? Repentance. That's why. He could see it, he could see it. Now, Daniel got this. He wasn't at home in his home nation. There's many in this church. This is not where you were born. Just like Daniel. This is not where you were born. This is not where I was born. Those that were born here, hopefully you have a natural love for this land and for the people. But even if you were born somewhere else, like Daniel, you can still feel the burden. You still feel the burden. We've been there. Melvin and I have been so blessed over the last few weeks to listen to the story of a number of people that are newcomers into Scotland, into Livingston, and just to hear how God has led you to be here. Over time, we'd love to have you just share that with the wider church because it's such a blessing to hear. Do you not know that God is sending people to Livingston for the sake of the gospel? From every tribe, from every nation, yes. God is sending people wherever you go. Wherever you go. And there's a reason when God sends, when God gives you a word, and this is where you're to go and live, there will be a reason. There will be a reason. And you're to partner with God in that reason. Many, many years ago, the couple that started this church way back, Joan and George, they moved from Edinburgh to Livingston because they felt the call of God to come and to start because this was a new town. And they came and they started kids' work. And through the kids' work, some of the adults got saved. And then slowly they built up a little church. But I always remember Joan said that very early on they had a prophetic word that this would be an international church. And everybody's like, ha, 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 ha. International meaning what? Someone from Glasgow and someone from Edinburgh? Now we see it, don't we? Now we see it. Because God has called us to be an international, a cosmopolitan church. That is the calling of God for Life Center in Livingston. So back to Daniel. Daniel realized he had a part to play. The scripture says, this is Daniel speaking, I set my face towards the Lord God. Another translation said, I turn my attention to the Lord God. Instead of just rejoicing about it, of course we do rejoice about God's promises, but there's work to be done. And we have a part to play. This is how God set it up. In the beginning, he said, "Give them. I'm giving them dominion. I'm giving them. The earth belongs to the children of men. The heavens belong to the Lord. The earth, this is our sphere. Come on now. Come on now." God is saying, come on. He gives the revelation for a purpose. Daniel understood this because he walked with God. And he set his face on God. He wasn't being distracted by the fact they were in captivity. He wasn't being distracted about all the evil that was taking place. He lived in even worse days than we. He didn't get distracted. His face was on the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if anybody knows who you are down here. What matters is, are you known in the heavenlies? Do you come before the Father? Are you making petitions? Are you using the power that has been bought by the blood of Jesus so that you can go before the throne room? Don't you know that Jesus paid with his price so that you can go and you can be on your knees and the Father will listen and answer? It cost him his blood. And we take it so easy and we think, oh, maybe tomorrow I'll pray. Or maybe next week will be a good idea. You know, sometimes we just take it for granted, don't we? But Daniel, no, immediately, when he got the revelation from the Word, when he reread the prophetic Word, he said, that's it. He put his face on the Lord, his full attention. Not being busy over here, busy there. Sometimes we can be busy doing Christian things. But the Lord says, there's a purpose for your life. There's something you're called to. And that is to intercede, to pray, to be in that throne room. Do you listen to Sammy's testimony? In the throne room, that's where things happen. That's where things happen. And you can go into that throne room on behalf of the unsaved. We can go into the throne room on behalf of Livingston. This is what we are called to do. When I was reading this couple of scriptures on Daniel, it just struck me how God revealed this to Daniel just at the right time, although he had it for a long time. I had a similar mini experience over the last couple of weeks, because I kept praying and asking the Lord. The Lord gave us the word that we were to move central on Livingston and we were to bring God order to Livingston. And I kept praying and asking the Lord, what does that mean? Yes, we've uncovered to a degree. What does God order mean? What does this mean? Just a strong sense in my spirit, there's more that we need to do. And so I find myself just weeping over the land. And I'm saying, Lord, what is all this about the land? And the Holy Spirit says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will forgive their sin and I will heal the land. God heals the land. God forgives the sin and he heals the land. I am crying because of this land. It's the Holy Spirit through me that's crying for this land. It needs our tears. It needs our tears. It needs our intercession. It doesn't need a lot of words all the time. This is not difficult. We are to represent Jesus to the people, and we can go before the Father and represent Livingston. And so then I started to reread prophetic words that were given specifically to this church, and I got deeper revelation. I thought, why didn't I see that before? That word was given to us in 2018. Why didn't I see it? And I vaguely remember initially when I heard it, I thought, how could I possibly do that? That sounds too difficult. Now is the time for it. Just like with Daniel, there comes a time where the Holy Spirit quickens a word, a destiny to you. Quickens something that God called you to years ago, and God says, now is the time. Come on now. Get up now. Now is the time to do it. There comes that time in your spirit and you just know. You just know this is the time. This is the time. We know that what Daniel did works because the angel Gabriel was dispatched right after Daniel started to pray. So the way that Daniel interceded worked, right? I mean, the angel Gabriel, he's pretty awesome. He's one of the really big guys. He's one of the really big guys. He was dispatched right away when Daniel prayed. God will do that for you. Don't you know? Yes, it's the word. It's the word. And the angel Gabriel appeared to Daniel to give him skill to understand. Skill to understand. It's interesting because the Lord talks about this in the New Testament, and he said, let him who reads understand. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the skill to understand what we are reading. This is why we've got the written word. This is why prophetic words should be documented and written down. So you reread it, there's another layer. You reread it, you get more understanding. God is looking for a man or a woman to stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. This is God speaking. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. The land, remember you heard about the land last week? On behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with my fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. Do you not see the heart of God there? God did not want to destroy the land. God did not want to bring the reward for the sin. But he looked and he looked and he looked and he couldn't find a single person interceding. And so God is not going to break his own governmental rule. He had no choice but to bring the punishment. Because a righteous God, there has to be punishment for sin. And if no one will repent, so we have to repent. We have to repent on behalf of this town. We have to repent on behalf of the people. This is our calling. God says, I looked, I found no one. Oh, this is a really serious scripture in Ezekiel. He found no one. Back to Daniel. Daniel 9, from verse 20 through to 23. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you. For you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And so the angel goes on and gives him all the understanding and everything. But isn't this so beautiful how the angel says, I was from the beginning of your supplication, from the beginning when you pray. The angels are released, like that. Just the beginning when you pray, God sends the angels. Yes, that's what it shows you. And then when he comes, he says, look at the way the heaven talks about him. For you are greatly beloved. You are greatly beloved. That's how heaven talks about you when you pray. You are greatly beloved. We've got some old friends and sometimes they call each other rat bag and all kinds of things. That's not how heaven talks about God's people. You're greatly beloved. I know, it must be Glaswegian, is it? That's not how heaven talks about you. You're greatly beloved. Greatly beloved Ross, greatly beloved John, greatly beloved Emily, greatly beloved Anne. That's how heaven talks about you. You're greatly beloved, and when you stand in the gap, oh, heaven so appreciates that. Why? Because this is our time on earth, and this is why we are here. Let's not waste it. Let's not waste it. Now, it took 21 days. You can read that in chapter 10. Because in chapter 10, what God does here gives us insight into the spiritual warfare that takes place. The key thing is, his prayer was heard the first time he prayed. However, he had to continue to pray until it was completed. 3 times 7. He had to continue to pray until there's this cumulative effect of prayers. This is why Melvin always talks about God's a generational God. You see, we add our prayers to the people that prayed before us. You just kind of add it. They're collected. God collects them. And then when it reaches a certain amount, boom, that's it. And this is what happened to Daniel. Don't give up. Don't give up until the burden lifts. It's very important to know that. The second example in Scripture is Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, we discover that God is needing a person to accomplish his will through prayer. And where we read in this chapter is that Elijah prays for rain after 3 years of drought. Now the skeptic will say, how do we really know that the rain came because of Elijah's prayer? Maybe that was just a coincidence. You know, he happened to pray and then the rain came. Well, there's no doubt about it, because if you go to James 5 from verse 16 to 18, this is where it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it goes on to give Elijah as the example. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So James uses Elijah as an example of what happens. This is significant. This is not like in Scotland where, you know, it hasn't rained for 5 minutes and then you could pray and it starts to rain. That could very well be a coincidence because it tends to rain every 5 minutes. No, we're talking here 3.5 years. Come on, this is big, isn't it? This is really big. But when we look at this, look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. God speaks to Elijah and says, go, I want to send rain. Go and speak to Ahab, I want to send rain. That's what God says. Elijah knows he has to partner with this. Who wanted the rain? Elijah? No, it was God. This is God's idea. We don't pray or intercede for just our own idea. No. It is God's will. Remember Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not about our will. It's about his will. That's what we are here for, his will. So God reveals he wants to send rain. But he needs someone to go and pray. Do you see it? God is going to Elijah because he needs someone to go and pray. He needs someone to go. Who's going to pray? God wants to send revival in Livingston. God wants to send revival in Livingston. Who's going to pray? Who's going to pray? Who's going to decree it? Who's going to stick with it till it comes? If it takes 21 days, it takes 21 days. You stick with it until it comes. You set your mind on it. You put your full attention on it. That's what God's saying to us. God wanted to send rain, not Elijah. But he told Elijah that this was his will. When you read the full chapter, you see this is what he goes and prays. If you go to the end, verses 42 and 43, in the same 1 King 18. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees and said to his servants, "Go up now, look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Here we have Elijah. He's on his knees, his head down. He's praying. Seven times he prays. It hasn't rained for all these years. Seven times he's prayed. Seven in scripture means completion. He prayed until it was completed. And on the seventh time, the servant came by and said, "Oh, there's just a little cloud, just the size of a man's hand." Elijah knew, that's it, it's done. He knew it was already done in advance, but it had to be prayed through. So God has spoken, this is God's will. But then God waits for us to pray it into being. God gives you a prophetic word. You have to pray it into being. You have to be on your knees. This is the partnering we get to do with God. This is the partner, because Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It's a privilege, isn't it, that we get to intercede. Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. He has made the way for us so that we can enter into the throne room. Sammy told us her experience of the throne room. But we have access. The scripture says we can come boldly to make our prayers known. The prayer of Daniel, if you study, you'll see he acknowledged the faithfulness of God and the unfaithfulness of the people. He acknowledged the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of people. He saw the mercy of God, how he dealt with the sinful people. He saw the faithfulness of God in keeping the word. Then he appealed to God on the basis of God's mercy, not based on their deserving. We were just singing there, "Build your throne," as we worship, "Come and build your throne." I think we, as inhabitants of Livingston, want to repent for people worshipping the wrong idols, for people worshipping the created rather than the creator. They have built the wrong thrones, the wrong thrones all the way around. But we, God's people, we want to come and intercede on behalf of Livingston. Livingston is yet to come into the destiny that God has for Livingston. This is God's land. This is not man-made. It is what you see in terms of the concrete you see around, but it's God's design. God designed Livingston to be a strategic link between Glasgow and Edinburgh and the whole central belt. A belt holds things together. A belt, you can fasten things with a belt. This is what God created Livingston to be a living town with the living waters of God to flow. And he's tasked us to open up the well of God in this place. He's tasked us to open up the well of God through our intercession and prayer, through obedience to the word of God, to be on our knees, to repent on behalf of those that don't know how to pray. But we know how to pray. It's not difficult. Someone has to repent. That's it. Someone has to come before the Father and repent. Someone has to do it. God's looking and looking and looking. Will anybody repent so I don't need to punish them? Will anybody repent so I can pour out my blessing? He's looking, 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 looking. Will anybody do it? Oh, let's do it. Oh, let's do it. God is giving us Livingston. We are praying for Livingston primarily because Livingston is the hub. And then God says, this land is anointed for church planting. And God says he's not forgotten all the villages around. But we must deal with the hub first. We must deal with the center first. We must come on our knees for the center first, and then it will flow. It will flow. The river of God flows. The wind of the Spirit moves. We are called to be hosting His presence. We are called to raise up people of faith. We are called to be a place for those who are seeking for what the Scripture says about signs, miracles, and wonders, because God has not changed. And our aim is not based on our experience, it's based on what the Word of God teaches. What the Word of God teaches. Because Jesus said even greater things. That's what we're pushing for. That's what we're pushing for, because we know God has this in store for us. He has a bountiful and a beautiful harvest awaiting. So we've set aside 2 weeks' time, Sunday the 24th, and we are inviting all of you to join Sunday the 24th to be a day of prayer and fasting for Livingston, for the land, for the fulfillment of God's will for this place. Will you join? Will you join? Of course, the praying goes on when you're in your chamber every single day, but to set aside that one day, that we do it together as the body of Christ. He's the head, we are the body. Will you join? It's a privilege, isn't it? When God wants to partner with you, isn't that a privilege? The God, the creator of all universe, says, come on now, partner with me. He's revealed certain things to us. What Livingston is for. Now, He looks to us to come to repent on behalf of Livingston, the sin, the idolatry, the things that have taken place. What's His promise? He will forgive the sin and heal the land. The Scripture's not difficult. Repent and you're forgiven. Repent and there's forgiveness. It's as simple as that. The children can do it. You just ask God, please forgive the sin of my friend. Please, God, forgive the sin of my teacher. Please, God, forgive my sin. Forgive the sin of my parents. Forgive the sin of my grandparents. It's as simple as that. You come all of your heart and pursue God. He's the one that forgives the sin. Because the work was done on the cross, and He's the one that heals the land. Amen. So, Father God, we stand in awe of You this day, that You would call on us to partner with You. And Father, this day, forgive us, Father, where we have been so lazy and laid back. Forgive us, O God. But Father, as we hear Your call this day, Father, we want to renew and we want to come and we want to stand in the gap for Livingston. So many people have built the wrong thrones and worshipped the wrong things. And Father, we have done it. We have done it. Forgive us, God, when we have not worshipped You with all of our soul, everything within us. Forgive us, Father, in this town where we have worshipped man-made things, where we have worshipped what You have created rather than worshipping You. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, O God, in this very place, in this very building, Father, for drinking from the wrong wells. Forgive us, O God, to not hear Your voice, but year after year, drinking from that which doesn't satisfy. Father, we have no excuse because we've had Your word and we've had Your instructions. But You are merciful and You are faithful. So we ask and we apply the blood of Jesus to this very place, O God. We stand in the gap for the people of this town. We say we have sinned against your holy name. We have blasphemed your name. We ask you to forgive us, O God. We apply the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you are so merciful. We thank you that you sent Jesus to take all the punishment that should be ours. And so we receive your forgiveness this day. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.